It is you and you alone that causes us to dwell in safety. We thank and praise you for preserving our lives and protecting our nation. We pray that events such as 9/11 may cause us to realize the brevity of this life and the great need we have for the work of our Savior. Stir up our hearts tonight that we may cling to the precious truths that we have in Christ our Lord. We pray this all in his saving name. Amen. All redeemed who have been purchased and bought back to God by the suffering, death, and resurrection of God's only Son, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, his grace, kindness, and compassion are yours to be found alone in that Savior. Amen. The psalm before us, Psalm 90, the verse 12 that we will read, is possibly one of the oldest portions of Scripture. And Martin Luther used to say that before coming to learn of the gospel, he could not read this entire psalm. It was too terrifying. But with Christ and knowing Christ, how much different it seemed to him. We hear this one verse then, taken from Psalm 90. Teach us to number our days that we may gain a heart of wisdom. These are your words, Heavenly Father. They are your truth. We pray that you would strengthen our faith through them. Amen. This will be a little bit different type of sermon tonight. It was my day off. It was a Tuesday morning, and I had just come back from driving my kids to the bus. And I sat down with a bowl of cereal and was watching the news, and there was a building on fire. And just moments later, another jet flew into the second World Trade Center tower. And it was very quickly apparent that this was not just an accident. This was now an actual attack. I ran upstairs to let my wife know about it. We turned on the TV and sat on the bed and just watched in horror what was happening and watching these buildings starting to burn, imagining what it was like for the people inside. And we just sat and cried, just started crying. And probably more so for my kids than I did for myself, to think of what kind of world they were going to have in front of them. Now, I've been afraid before in my life, a lot of different times, but this was a different type of fear. This was a different type of terror that seemed to be coming at us. And every hour that morning as we watched the news, there was more and more tragedy. The Pentagon was hit, more people killed. Another flight crashed in Pennsylvania. We just didn't know when it was going to stop. How far was this going to go? And ultimately, that horrible day, 2,996 people lost their lives in the World Trade Towers, the Pentagon, and in Pennsylvania. But after that, an additional 2,400 people have died from respiratory illnesses in the first responders and people that went in to try to save many of those who died. One fireman recalls standing in a lobby of a building right next to the World Trade Center tower and waiting to rush in and go in with others to try to help. And suddenly bodies began falling from the sky through the atrium windows around him. And he remembered thinking to himself, how bad must it be up there that this is the way they're choosing to end their lives? That day, President Bush was reading books to children down in Florida in an elementary school when he received the news. They quickly got him out onto Air Force One to bring him back to Washington, D.C., but in the meantime discovered that Washington, D.C. itself might be under attack. And so they flew him out across the country. By this time, all the other planes in the country had been grounded, so only Air Force One was flying above everything else. They went up to the highest altitude they could fly, and the only other planes in the sky were the two fighter jets on either side of Air Force One. They ultimately had to take him to Omaha, Nebraska, and away from the East Coast. Back in Washington, D.C., The fear was that the government itself would be under attack. And so a number of U.S. Marines rushed into Vice President Cheney's office and picked him up physically and ran as fast as they could, taking him out of the building, ultimately to an underground bunker in Virginia. He would be the second in line in command if President Bush was killed. The third would be the Speaker of the House. And there's a chain of command all the way down. 16 individuals were notified to be on alert. That's how fearful they were. And they were all around the world. Some of them were even in other countries, just in case they needed to fill the shoes of the president. That very day, our nation went into a nuclear alert, which meant that all of the tops of the nuclear missile silos were opened. It meant that all of the nuclear submarines were put into a different engagement in case they needed to be drawn upon. And so all around our country, those missile silos opened up, many of them hidden. It just so happened that that same day, Russia was conducting a nuclear drill just to keep their country alert. And the fear was in our Pentagon that in Russia, they, because of satellite imagery watching our country, would see us going into this, and it might cause them to actually fire off their missiles. So contact had to be made to the president of Russia to tell him and inform him that we were really not planning to attack them. It's amazing all the panic that went on through the nation, a lot of which some of us never knew. It caused our nation to, months later, launch the beginning of a military attack on our enemies that has ended up being the longest military campaign in our nation's history. We're now at 16 years in Afghanistan. Just think that since our Bethany freshmen were in diapers, that we have been at war trying to find and hunt down and eliminate that threat to our nation. 9/11 dramatically changed our lives, but maybe not in ways that we immediately think of, too. Prior to 9/11, only 5% of bags were checked at the airport and scanned. Today, of course, it's 100%. The amount of federal air marshals that would be in the air went from 33 in the whole nation to now tens of thousands. The cost of war per citizen in the United States since that time, so in the last, let's say, 17 years or so, 16, 17 years, the cost of war per citizen, often called behind the spear, by the government's estimate is about $8,000 per person in our population, but Brown University estimates it's closer to $23,000 per person. The night that happened, I stayed up till 3 o'clock in the morning, glued to the television set, and I wasn't the only one. My wife finally said, "I can't take it anymore, I'm going to bed." It just so happened that the next morning, on Wednesday morning, I was scheduled to preach for a chapel address for the grade school children of the congregation I was serving. There were about 150 of them. And as I came in to have chapel for them that day, they sat in rows. The kindergartners were in the front row, first, second, third grade, all the way back. And I specifically remember seeing the smiling faces of the little kindergartners, the smiling faces of the first graders, and the second graders, some of them were smiling. But about where the third graders sat on back, there weren't any smiles. Some of them were crying. And most of the teachers that were sitting with them were crying as well. This was a terrifying event for everybody. Just so happened that that day, the text I had selected for myself months earlier was to be a text focusing on the work of the mission of the church, where Jesus says, "Go and make disciples of all nations." And I didn't change the text because there were other lines in that Great Commission that I felt were maybe at that moment more important than the Great Commission itself, although that is of greatest importance. Because in that same text, our Lord says, "All authority has been given unto me in heaven and on earth." That's of tremendous comfort to the Christian. All authority has been given unto Christ in heaven and on earth. All of the other authorities or enemies that we might face in our world around us must bow the knee ultimately to the power and the authority of God and His Son, our Lord Jesus Christ. It's that very same Savior who says at the end of that text, "Lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." Even when the world itself gets destroyed and comes to an end, Christ promises to be present with His church through His word and sacraments, embraced by faith in the hearts of His believers. At noontime that day, we put out the message here at Bethany's campus and into the community that we were going to have a 12 noon prayer service for our nation. And just in that short a time, announcing it that morning, we had 200 individuals show up at our sanctuary. Most of them were the age of college students. And I thought to myself, they know this has changed their world. They know this has changed their life. But I often thought, how many people went to work in New York City that day or at the Pentagon that day, completely unaware that this would be their last day of life on this earth? The words of Moses in Psalm 90 really stuck with me that day. A psalm that I like to read frequently, where he says again, "Teach us to number our days that we may gain a heart of wisdom. Teach us to be wise about our lives and to realize how fragile this world is. Teach us wisdom about how quickly things can not just change, but even this life come to an end, so that we gain hearts of wisdom, that we stay focused on what our Savior has done for us, coming into this world to go to the cross to pay for all of your sins, giving you the gift of faith in Him so that you have the hope of everlasting life in heaven, the promise of the resurrection of your body from your grave, how important all of that is, and to keep that in our minds and hearts on a daily basis." Things that we can learn by looking back on that tragic day is, first of all, that God is still always in control. As the psalmist says, He utters His voice and the earth melts. God is in control. All authority has been given unto our Savior. But it should also impress upon us the tremendous significance of this precious gift that we have to believe in Christ as our Savior, and to, by that faith, be ready at any time that God may take us out of this life, and to know that we have a blissful home waiting for us in heaven in the mansions above. Just think what wonderful comfort we have in that Savior every day of our lives. And the great importance, then, that we should recognize of remaining in that faith, despite all the other things that can distract us in this life. Tonight we're going to close the service with Luther's prayer that God may grant us peace. And sometimes when I'm singing that beautiful prayer with you, I think about 9/11. And I think about how God alone is the one that can grant us peace in this world and defend us. May He always keep us firm in that precious saving faith. Amen.